Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. We look to the readings now for this Sunday, as we usually do, which is the 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And the first reading today is taken from the Book of Wisdom, chapter 1, verses 13 to 15, and then chapter 2, verses 23 to 24. So these are excerpts from the Book of Wisdom. They're closely connected in terms of the numbering of the verses, but they're just two short sections. Let's take a look at it, and then I'll make a few comments about it. It begins, verse 13, chapter 1. God did not make death, nor does he rejoice in the destruction of the living. God did not make death. Hear that. For he fashioned all things that they might have being. And the creatures of the world are wholesome, and there is not a destructive drug among them, nor any domain of the nether world on earth, for justice is undying. For God formed man to be imperishable, the image of his own nature he made him. But by the envy of the devil, that is, the devil wanted to destroy what God had created, which was beauty and truth and goodness. And when God created it, there was not a destructive drug among us. There was no domain of the netherworld on earth. We were in a very, very good place. For God formed man to be imperishable, the image of his own nature he made him. We are his children, his sons and daughters. We belong to him. And he created us in his image and likeness. But by the envy of the devil, the enemy's lies, his enticing, his working through temptations on a number of people. And often he succeeds. Why? Because our faith is not strong enough. We get caught up in the things of this world, and we begin to compromise. We begin to make excuses. And we find ourselves going down a path we never would have chosen. But little by little, the enemy knows how to get us. And if it's little by little, we're not awakened. We tolerate. It's happened to all of us in some way. We've all sinned. And it's because I don't know quite how to put it, except to say we were enticed, or we're lied to, or our weakness in some way is addressed. And we have those what we call knee-jerk reactions. And then we find ourselves in great difficulty. By the envy of the devil, death entered the world. And they who belong to his company experience it. He's not talking about the death of the body. He's talking about the death of the soul. He's talking about eternal death. Do you flirt around with getting to the edge? Or do you step over the line and then say it doesn't matter? Are you very clear on the ways in which God gets you, entices you, goes after you? Do you see his handiwork? You see it through your temptations. When you're tempted, whatever is your weakest area, when you're tempted, do you turn to God right away and say, help me, protect me, defend me here, because I'm going to succumb to the temptation? And I don't want to. Will you help me? That's what we ought to be doing. Psalm 30 says, I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me. Rescued me from what? From whom? From the devil, from his temptations, from his lies, from the ways in which he entices us that create catastrophes in our lives. I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me. I will extol you, O Lord, for you drew me clear. You did not let my enemies rejoice over me. That's not only external enemies, it's internal enemies, the work of the enemy. How much room do you give the devil? Really? Monitor your thoughts. Don't do it for a long time, but do it for a half day. Just monitor your thoughts. And by that, when you get a thought that you know is not of God, jot it down. Carry a little notebook with you just for an hour. Try it. And you'll be amazed at the thoughts that flit through your head. The judgments, the condemnations, the response to temptation. It's all there. There's some good things too, I hope. But just take stock of yourself for a few days. And you'll see how much we need God to rescue us. I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me. I will extol you, O Lord, for you drew me clear. You did not let my enemies rejoice over me. You brought me up from the netherworld. You preserved me from among those going down into the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you his faithful ones. Give thanks to his holy name. For his anger lasts but a moment, a lifetime his goodwill. At nightfall, weeping enters in. When we enter into darkness, so do we enter into weeping and anger. And fear. That's what happens to us. At nightfall, weeping enters in. But with the dawn of the light of Christ working in your heart, that brings about rejoicing that overcomes our tears and our pain. Sing praise to the Lord, you his faithful ones. Give thanks to his holy name, for his anger lasts but a moment, a lifetime his goodwill. At nightfall, weeping enters in, but with the dawn, rejoicing. Hear, O Lord, and have pity on me. O Lord, be my helper. You changed my mourning into dancing. O Lord, my God, forever will I give you thanks. When we're bound to some pattern of sin, we think we're doing what we want to do, but we're actually imprisoning ourselves deeper and deeper. That's what's really going on. We grow deaf and blind to the voice of God. We want to be in a place where we experience the Lord changing our mourning into dancing. Oh, Lord, my God, forever will I give you thanks. Second reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 8, verses 7, 9, and then 13 to 15. Brothers and sisters, as you excel in every respect, in faith, discourse, knowledge, all earnestness, and in the love we have for you, may you excel in this gracious act also. For you know the gracious act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. He stripped himself, he gave himself so that you and I might know the richness of his grace. Not that others should have relief while you are burdened, but that as a matter of equality, your abundance at the present time should supply their needs, so that their abundance may also supply your needs, that there may be equality. As it is written, whoever had much did not have more, and whoever had little did not have less. When you experience abundance, do you share it? Do you give it in material things? Yes, but also spiritually. Also in time, giving of your time, giving of your energy. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials, named Jairus, came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please, come lay your hands on her that she may get well and live." And Jesus went off with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed upon him. Now, keep that in mind, and now we move to another event that's going on right at the same time. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet she was not helped, but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus. She came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured. And immediately her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out from him, he knew, every moment he knew. He turned around to the crowd and asked, "Who's touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to Jesus, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and you ask who touched you?" That's us, isn't it? Sometimes we're just deaf and dumb. And he looked around to see who had done it. And the woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. Now, what's the whole truth? One of the things it involves here is that she was hemorrhaging. Steady flow of blood. She was hemorrhaging. She was thereby considered unclean. And yet, in that state, she reached out to touch Jesus. And so she was full of fear and trembling, because that was a very serious offense under Jewish law. While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" So Jesus is being pulled from every side, but I gave that verse particularly out of order because I want to show you. He turns then to this woman and says, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." He takes time to reach her, even though people are pulling on him from every side. This is not a quiet, orderly situation. And he even takes account of the woman's fear. He's already healed her, but he takes account of her fear and he blesses her. Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid, have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, just asleep." And they ridiculed him. See, do you see that in two instances here? Jesus is ridiculed because he sees what's true. We see only with our senses. He sees and understands the whole picture. Trust him. Always trust him. They ridiculed him. And then they put them all out. He wanted people of faith with him. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And the girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that, they were utterly astounded. He gave strict orders that no one should know this, and said that she should be given something to eat. Always caring, always reaching out to care. Brothers and sisters, look at the contrast between their ridicule and their mockery, and Jesus' compassion and mercy. Follow Jesus. Don't get caught up with the crowd. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I want to offer you a new free booklet entitled Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. That booklet is available to you simply by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net.